I thought today, being the first Sunday of the year, that we would tackle some scripture and focus on some scripture that might help us to be a better follower of Christ in the new year. And that subject is forgiveness. And we're going to be focusing in God's Word over the book of Philemon. And the title of the message this morning is The Art of Forgiveness. The Art of Forgiveness. Now, when we say art this way, we're not talking about a painting, although there is going to be some of that imagery in the message this morning. What we're talking about is when we talk about art, the art of forgiveness. Art is a skill, it's another word for a skill at doing a specific or a specified thing. Typically one acquired through practice. And the one that comes to mind most readily is martial arts. The martial arts. You know, in order to get a black belt in, say, karate, you have to spend many, many years practicing that art, that specified particular thing. And in order for us to become good practitioners of forgiveness, we have to do what that word says. We have to practice it. We have to incorporate it in our daily life. You know, forgiveness, if you are a Christian today, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, forgiveness is why you are here today. It is who you are in Christ. Apart from forgiveness, there is no destination of heaven. There is no fulfillment in life right now. Although we don't necessarily always think about the idea of forgiveness, maybe we're not called upon to offer forgiveness on a daily basis. Forgiveness is really permeates our life and is the reason that we can claim the joy in Christ. It's the reason we can sing the hymns we've sung today. It's the reason that we can worship God. It all goes back to forgiveness. 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 Before we get into our text this morning, I'd like for you to turn with me to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. When I was in Bible college, I love to tell stories, and stories sometimes are a part of preaching, but I had a Bible teacher tell me, before you go outside the Bible for an analogy, look to the Bible for a story or for analogy. And I found what I think is a perfect analogy of the idea of forgiveness. And although this isn't our text, this sets up our text very well. Chapter 18 of Matthew, starting in verse 21. This is the parable of the unforgiving servant. I'm sure many of you have heard this before, and if not, you're in for an eye-opening story here. It starts off in verse 21. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared, and here's the parable, may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. Verse 28. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me and I will pay you. He refused and he went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. I remember as a child, the first time I heard this story, I was quick to anger at the servant. I was quick to anger at the servant. How could he respond in such a fashion? How could he respond in such a way in the light of what had just happened to him? But you know, as I got older and I read the story again and again, I realized that this parable is a reflection of who I am and who we are sometimes as Christians. You see, because we have been forgiven everything. You see, we were like the servant who had an insurmountable debt that needed to be paid and no means by which we could pay it. And Jesus said, "I forgive you all of it, all of it, all of it. And I save you from an eternal destiny in hell. And I forgive you, your debt is paid." And then we turn around and we have anger toward our brother. We have unforgiveness for the person who cuts us off in traffic or who doesn't have their money ready to pay at the grocery store. Or when someone wrongs us severely, we hold on to that bitterness and that unforgiveness until it just destroys us internally. And though we might be appalled and shocked and angered at the actions of this unforgiving servant, be careful, because many of us are guilty of the same. But thankfully, we don't have to stay there. Thankfully, God has given us this beautiful letter that Paul writes to his friend Philemon, explaining the benefits and the requirements of forgiveness. And isn't God so gracious and wonderful in his sovereign knowledge and his sovereign grace and love toward us that he would give us this? Why would God choose to have Paul and the Spirit write this letter? Well, for our benefit today, for our benefit today. If we want to be practitioners of forgiveness, we must start, I think, at Philemon. You see, when the letters of Colossians and the letter of Philemon were delivered, they were delivered by hand by a man named Tychicus and Onesimus. Paul wrote these letters, his prison epistles, and he sent these men out to deliver. And we know this because we can read in Colossians that these two men delivered these things, these letters. And so imagine Philemon receiving this letter from Onesimus and from Tychicus. What would his response have been? Maybe shock. Maybe awe. And why? Why was that? Well, the background here is that Onesimus had been a slave of Philemon. And he had, for whatever reason, he had run away. He had possibly stolen from him. He may have taken some goods with him. And he ran away. And he ran most likely to Rome, because Rome was the largest city. He could get lost in the community there. And he gets, by not by chance, but by the providence of God, he meets Paul. Paul leads him to Christ and becomes a Christian. And that's really the catalyst for Paul writing this letter and sending Onesimus back to Philemon. In the first seven verses, Paul is greeting Philemon. And I wonder how many, if Philemon had to go back several times and reread the letter, because imagine if the person who had wronged you is delivering you a letter by hand, the shock of, where have you been? What are you doing here? What am I going to do to you? And then he has to read the letter, and what he reads is what we read earlier. He must have had to go back and read this greeting again, maybe once or twice. Paul reminds Philemon that he's writing to him from prison. He gives him a list of people who are with him. And that kind of sets the scene. I want you to focus with me this morning. There are three main characters in this letter, and we're going to look at them individually. The first character, as we walk through Scripture this morning, is, of course, Onesimus. And Onesimus, when we look at him, he is a picture of someone needing forgiveness. Have you ever been in a situation where you are the one needing to be forgiven? Apart from your salvation, maybe you wronged someone, maybe you said something in anger. I know none of us are guilty of those things, right? No. We are human beings. We fail every day. And we've all been in a situation where we needed to be forgiven. So let's just kind of walk through the Scripture, shall we? I wanted to point out a few things. And we're going to skip down to verse 14. Verse 14 tells us, "But I prefer to do nothing," this is Paul, I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. And then verse 16 says, "No longer a slave," he's talking about Onesimus, "but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord." See, as I said, Onesimus had been a slave. He had belonged to Philemon. And in all my study over the last few weeks, slavery at this time was a different sort of thing than what we're used to from America or even from British history. Slaves, unfortunately, they were considered property, and they were not freemen. But they could be doctors and lawyers and artisans and things like this. And from all accounts from this time, sometimes freemen struggled more than the slaves in Roman culture. But no matter how the situation was, what we have to be careful with is not to focus on Onesimus's situation or Philemon's situation, but the underlying theme of forgiveness here. For whatever reason, but Onesimus, probably most likely just desiring to be a freeman, to be out of slavery, fled. He fled, and he left a wake in his path. But something dramatic had happened to him, which was he became a Christian. Verse 11 points out that something had gone wrong, but Onesimus should not remain with Paul without Philemon's consent, without Philemon's permission. So Onesimus flees to Rome, and by the providence of God meets Paul and becomes a Christian through faith. And he becomes very useful to Paul, so much so that Paul doesn't want to see him go. But because Paul had to have, through conversations and through his relationship with Onesimus, come to realize what had happened in his past. And because of who Philemon was and where he was, and because of Paul's position, he knew that he could not continue to enjoy the relationship that Onesimus afforded him without things being made right between Onesimus and Philemon. And so Paul sends him with this letter and with the letter of Colossians back. There was a separation between Onesimus and Philemon. If we look in verse 15, "For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever." This is a powerful verse. What Paul is beginning to do is to lay down a foundation for what he's going to ask. He says, what happened wronged you. What happened seemed to be the work of the enemy. But he's talking about the providence of God allowed them to meet. And maybe for that, he says, maybe for that very reason, this thing happened so that he might not remain a slave or remain at odds with you, but now he could become a brother. Not just now, but forever. You see, when we become saved, when we become adopted into the family of God through Christ, We all become brothers and sisters in Christ. When I was growing up in America, in Arkansas, every adult male, you would always address them as brother first name. It's just the way I grew up. Brother first name. Brother John. My dad was Brother Larry. Okay, and the pastor, he would be brother last name. So my pastor growing up was Brother Baxter. And that's just the way you referred to everything. And if it was a lady, you would call her Sister, Sister Karen, Sister Mary. That's just the way it was. And not until I grew up and went to other churches realized that not every church did that, you know. But what it did instill in me is the idea that we are a family of God. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And that is the message that in this verse, verse 15, that Paul is conveying to Philemon, that yes, this thing happened, but now you have him back, not only back, but back as a forever brother. Why? Because he's a child of God. Amen, is what he's conveying. There had been a separation. There had been wrong done to Philemon by Onesimus. Paul addresses this in verse 18. If he, Onesimus, has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. And then he goes on and says, by the way, this is Paul. I am writing this in my own hand. Be assured that what I say has validity. We see Paul describing his conversion. Onesimus gets connected with Paul and becomes useful to him. Not just useful, but also a Christian. It's very interesting to note the name Onesimus actually means useful, beneficial, or profitable. So Onesimus, who was useful, was not useful to Philemon, but now he is useful. He is in accordance with his namesake. He is useful. Paul calls him in verse 10 his child, referring to the fact that Paul had led him to Christ, and in a sense that Paul was his spiritual father, and in this spiritual family we call Christianity. Paul led Onesimus to Christ while in prison, and after he finds true faith, Onesimus becomes useful and very dear to him. He becomes a beloved brother. Special. Special, special. I wonder if Onesimus read this letter after the fact and realized that Paul felt this way. So it's one thing to feel it, but it's another thing to see someone writing about you this way. Especially, he must have felt very low, very unuseful, very worthless in some ways. And here Paul is saying, no, he is special. He is useful. He is my own part. Now this verse 12 will come into, it'll make more sense in a minute when we touch on something else. But he says, I am sending him back to you. I am sending my very heart. That's how dear Onesimus has become to Paul. We see in Onesimus his return and his need for forgiveness. Onesimus needs Philemon to forgive him and to welcome him back into his household, into his part as Paul has welcomed him, and as a new brother in Christ. Onesimus needs to have, he has a need for making restitution, whether it be goods or money or even labor. Onesimus owed Philemon a repayment. He had a need for being valued, as we've touched on. Onesimus should be valued and not treated poorly. This is what Paul is conveying to Philemon, that he should be valued. He should not be treated poorly because of his mistakes. In fact, Paul asked Philemon to treat him as if he were Paul himself in verse 20. He asked Philemon to refresh my heart in Christ. Now here's where verse 12 connects to verse 20. When Paul is saying, refresh my heart in Christ, he is saying, do the right thing so it warms my heart. But he's also described described Onesimus as his heart. And so in verse 20, when he says, When he says, refresh my heart in Christ, he's really saying, in another way, refresh Onesimus in Christ. Refresh this man who has become like my heart in Christ. He wants him to welcome Onesimus. If Onesimus is Paul's very own heart, as I said, refreshing Onesimus is refreshing Paul's heart. Onesimus had a need for protection. It seems that Paul had plans to check up on this relationship, to check up on Philemon and Onesimus, because in verse 22 he says, prepare me a room. Prepare a room for me, because I am confident that I'm going to get out of this prison and I'm going to come and see you and check on the progress. So the first character we see here is Onesimus, and the second character, which is really the main character of the story of this letter, is Philemon. And if Onesimus is a picture of someone needing forgiveness, Philemon is a picture of someone who should forgive. Who should forgive. I'm reminded, and I'll touch on this in a minute, but with my children, there's always a need for somebody to forgive and somebody to be the forgiver on a daily basis. But Where are you in this? Are you someone needing to forgive or needing forgiveness? He had an opportunity, Philemon. He had a great opportunity to welcome Onesimus. But here's the thing. This is not an easy thing that Paul is asking him to do. I mean, would it be easy for you to forgive someone who has physically assaulted you? Would it be easy for you to forgive someone who has stolen money out of your own pocket? My grandfather, unfortunately, recently, he's in his mid-90s, was swindled out of $30,000. He believed these people were his friends. He believed these people had his best interests at heart, but none of that was true. And my grandfather is dealing with right now, you know, the shame and the hurt, and how does he respond as a Christian to what's been done to him. And so he's right in the middle of this. And for me, I want to be very angry. I want to go find these people and get his money back. But you know, that's not possible. But what is possible is to work to forgiving these people. Philemon also had the opportunity to transfer Onesimus' debt. It's important to note that Paul never asks Philemon to forgive and forget. He never asks him to just take the loss. He never asks him, just let the past stay in the past. Paul never minimizes what Philemon has gone through because of Onesimus. And Paul recognizes the losses and offers to have it charged to his account. Paul says, you've suffered loss. I'm not negating, I'm not diminishing what you've been through when I'm asking you what I'm asking you to do. But I will pay the debt if I have to. I'm not sure how Paul would be able to pay this debt being a prisoner. Nevertheless, Philemon would understand this and have dealt with, he would have had to have dealt with how to process the debt owed to him as he works through the process of forgiveness. Forgiveness is not clean cut. It requires work. That's why there's an art to it. There's a disciplined it is a disciplined activity. Philemon also had the opportunity to care for Onesimus. That ratchets up the difficulty level. Think about somebody that has offended you, and now God is asking you to care for them. I'm always embarrassed at my own lack of forgiveness sometimes, and in awe when I see reports of people who are able to forgive those who murdered a loved one. But there's not saying that there doesn't need to be punishment. But they're saying that I forgive you of these tragic events. I want to be more like that. But that would be, I don't know about you, but that would be the hardest thing. To forgive someone who's taken a loved one away from me. And yet, Christ compels us to care for even those who commit wrong against us. Philemon is comforted with the fact that forgiveness also means taking care. He's confronted with the fact that forgiveness is also, it's not just forgiving him, but it also means to take care of him. He will have to let Onesimus, in a sense, back into his heart, back into his home. And that would not have been an easy task. Because wouldn't you, as Philemon, wonder, can I trust this guy? Is he going to hurt me again? And here's the thing. You know, forgiveness is not easy. But when you're confronted with somebody at your doorstep with a letter from the Apostle Paul, lots of emotions must have been swirling around. He also has the opportunity later to receive Paul into his house. I want you to understand for a moment Philemon's situation. He was a church leader, whether you want to call him a church elder or a church pastor or a church bishop. He was a church leader. Paul didn't write this directly to the church at Colossae. He wrote it directly to Philemon. He wrote it specifically for him. And as I said, it was most likely delivered by the hand of Onesimus. He was the leader of the church. They met in his home. You see, Philemon was wealthy enough to have slaves, to have a large enough house to host the church. And everything points to the fact that he was the pastor of the church. His situation also was difficult. He was faced with the difficulty of forgiveness. Forgiveness in that day and time could be seen as a sign of weakness. It was not a mark of high moral character to forgive. It was a mark of weakness. Everybody in that surrounding area would probably have known about Onesimus and what happened. You know how we like to gossip. And the story spread. And I'm sure that they would have known that. But it didn't matter what the greater community thought. It mattered what was right before God. But Philemon still had to deal with that. He had to deal with the situation that he was obligated to forgive. In verse 6, Paul says, "And I pray that the sharing of your faith might become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ." Now, while sharing your faith does, in fact, grow you as a Christian, this, however, is not the meaning of the verse within the context. What Paul is expressing in verse 6 is that the gospel is forgiveness. By being able to forgive as a Christian, that is the best way to flesh out your faith. If Philemon forgives Onesimus, he will set an example for his family, for his church, and the larger community that the forgiveness that was offered by Christ and accepted by Philemon is real and not just for show. You see, when Paul says, "I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ," he's saying that if you claim Christ, if you are a pastor, if you are a leader of that church, and you are unable to forgive, then you make, in a sense, your faith a lie. And you must not let that happen. Take this opportunity to show your faith is more than just lip service. It is from the heart. It is from God Himself. Our obligation as Christians to forgive never really diminishes the forgiveness. That we should be compelled to forgive because what has been done to us. And if we need reminding of that from the scripture, then so be it. The other character in this story is Paul. And so we have Onesimus, who is a picture of someone needing forgiveness. Philemon, who is a picture of someone who should forgive. And Paul, a picture of someone who facilitates forgiveness. Paul asks Philemon to charge him any doubts. This is Paul's appeal. Charge me with any debts that need to be repaid. Paul makes himself the object of that appeal by asking Philemon to refresh his heart. It's almost like Paul is saying, do this because it's right. And if you have trouble doing it, do it for my sake. Paul is willing to spend even more pastoral capital to see this forgiveness and this restoration occur by asking Philemon to prepare him a room. Not only forgive, but prepare for me to come and kind of follow up. Paul had a method. And when you read Philemon, something that might jump off the page is that, wow, Paul is a little bit pushy. Paul is pushy. Well, he's really demanding. And he is. He is. And I know that myself, I would probably not feel comfortable engaging with people in this type of way, other than my children. I'm very easily to tell my children, you forgive, you apologize, you do it now, or you face the consequences. But to another person, that might be a little bit more difficult. But Paul felt passionately about this situation, and he was right. He was right. Paul did not know how Philemon would take it. He didn't know the extent of Philemon's hurt, his feelings, or his offense. Though Paul was correct about what needed to happen, he was taking a huge leap. Paul could have pulled rank. I mean, he says as much in verse 8. He could have just commanded Philemon to do it, but he chooses not to. He does everything but he doesn't command him to do it. Instead, Paul appeals to Philemon's love and faith. In the first few verses of the letter, starting in verse 4, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. He's heard these great things about Philemon, and he is pivoting on those things. You're this kind of man. This is your reputation. Don't fail in this. He says, this man who is named Useful, who was useless to you, is now by all means useful and in alignment with his own namesake. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. I do not believe that in Onesimus' benefit, Paul is referring strictly. Paul says, I want some benefit from you in the Lord, in verse 20. And he talks about Onesimus being beneficial. And I don't think that Paul is referring to Onesimus' labor, his skill, or even his friendship, potentially. What I think Paul is referring to is Onesimus needing to be forgiven, returning for forgiveness, is an enormous benefit to Paul, to Philemon, if Philemon does the right thing. Onesimus is useful, period, but he's also useful to you, specifically Philemon, because he's an opportunity as a pastor, as a church leader, as a Christian, to do the right thing. Not only for Onesimus and for you and for your church, but the testimony around the community. He can be very useful to you. And I think that he was. I think that he was. Well, Onesimus, Philemon, and Paul are the three main characters in this passage. But there's a fourth character that we have to remember, and that is Jesus. It's Jesus. If Onesimus is a picture of one needing to be forgiven, if Philemon is one needing to forgive, and if Paul is the one that can facilitate forgiveness, then Jesus is our model of forgiveness. Again, we have so many scripture that we could go to. But let me just read for you a couple of verses. Colossians 2:13 and 14 says, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your faith, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands." You see, for the wages of sin is death. Just like that slave from Matthew 18, who had an insurmountable debt that would never really be able to be repaid, that should have sent him to jail. It should have sent him to his death. But the king, the ruler, steps in and says, I forgive you of it all. You see, in Christ, He is the model of forgiveness. There are passages in Scripture that list how vile and sinful we are apart from Christ. We are dead. We were dead in our sins and our trespasses. We had no right to be saved. We had no right to be forgiven. We had no means by which to be forgiven apart from Jesus Christ Himself. And He stepped in and He wiped our slate clean upon our belief and faith in Him. And He tells us that we are His beloved children. Man, isn't that wonderful? Colossians 3:13 says, bearing one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must, not you should, but you must forgive. You must forgive. You know, we are never more like God than when we forgive. And we are never more like Christ than when we facilitate forgiveness. Much has been given to you if you are a Christian today, and much is expected. We have been given forgiveness of everything. We must forgive all. It doesn't mean there aren't consequences. It doesn't mean there aren't troubles that come with problems. But it does mean that we can be free of all the harm and hurt and bitterness in this life if we will follow the example of Christ and forgive and forgive and forgive. How many times? 70 times 7, which is just another way of saying as many times as it takes, forgive, forgive, forgive. Now, how do we bring this all home this morning? How do we bring this all home as we close? Four questions I want to pose to you. Number one, will we recognize our need for forgiveness like Onesimus? Maybe you are here this morning, and like Onesimus was, you are lost in your sinfulness. And you are in great need of a Savior, of salvation. I want to tell you this morning, just like Paul told the jailer, when he said, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe, and you will be saved. Admit that you are a sinner, and you fall short. Confess your sins to the Lord, and believe by faith that Jesus will save you. He died for you on the cross. He died for your sins on the cross. He is that benevolent King waiting for you to plead with Him and ask for forgiveness. He is ready and willing to do that for any who ask. Are you like Onesimus this morning and recognize your need for forgiveness? Christian, will you be willing and ready to forgive others as Philemon should? We should always be ready to forgive. You know, I was watching a program one time, and there's an actor who became a host on TV. And I know that this guy is not a believer, but he said something one day. He said a very profound thing, that he practices future forgiveness. He wakes up in the morning and he just forgives everybody who's going to wrong him that day before it even happens. So he says, when the guy cuts me off on the freeway, he's already forgiven. When the lady cuts me off at the grocery store, I've already forgiven her. When someone says an unkind word, I've already forgiven. And I'm listening to this guy, and he's speaking what Scripture says, although he doesn't know God Himself and he doesn't know Scripture. And I thought to myself, if this guy who doesn't know God can have that kind of day-to-day spirit about forgiveness, then how much more should we who have been forgiven all have that same willingness to forgive in our own hearts? Are we like Philemon, ready to forgive? And we should forgive. Third question, will we be peacemakers like Paul? You know, I would rather empty my bank account and save a relationship within the church so that the name of Christ may not be diminished in the community, then hold that together and let relationships and churches fall and crumble away. You know, Christ was the great peacemaker. He volunteered to come to earth and die for our sins so that we might not be enemies with God anymore, but be friends again with God. Are we like Paul and willing to be that peacemaker? And lastly, will we model our life after Christ? After Christ. Will we put others before ourselves? Will we forgive others their trespasses against us? This is the theme of Philemon. I encourage you, go back. This week I've read it about 15, 20 times. And just filling my brain this week with the Word of God and with this forgiveness. And it's challenged me. It's challenged me to evaluate all my relationships and all my inner workings, interpersonal relationships. And I would ask you to do the same. Whatever God has for you to pull from this today, I pray that you'd be receptive to that. Think on how you can be a more forgiving person this year. Start today. Be a practitioner of forgiveness and become better at the art of forgiveness. May God's word this morning fill us in our minds and our hearts so that we might better serve Him every single day.